One of the curious features of Christian history is that for most people, if you ask them, you know, what is the worst possible sin? What is the kind of sin that you would do that would definitely guarantee that you will go straight to hell? And most people would probably think of, you know, murder or something like that initially. But most of us don't commit murder, and so it's not really a thing that we have to worry about. And so then the second round of sins then becomes a thing that people do tend to worry about. And as a priest who's heard many confessions over the years, the sin that is so often confessed is around lust or around sexual sins. And yet there are only two parables that Jesus tells out of the 40 parables that he mentions where he does actually indicate that there is this possibility of someone going to a place of damnation, a place of judgment. The parable that we hear today and the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. And in both cases, it's not about sex, it's not about sexuality, but it's about justice. It's about these people who think that it's about what we have and building bigger barns and having more stuff, more possessions, that is what defines a good life. And in fact, Jesus very clearly and bluntly says, no, it's not in having more stuff that we'll find salvation, that we'll find life. It's in being free of all of those things. I mean, there are so many oddities in the parable that the first people who heard it would have just been kind of rolling around on the floor laughing, because it just doesn't make sense within that context of a land where people are so hungry, people are starving. It's kind of bizarre that the whole situation of the war in the Ukraine has really plunged so many people. The UN estimates that another 100 million people have been plunged into desperate poverty as a result of the war and as a result of the continuing lack of openness to resources and the movement of materials and the lack of fertilizers and all of those kinds of things. We face the same situation, and yet what do we have? We have people that are just wanting to say, let's tear down these small barns and build bigger barns. It's still the same scenario, still the same situation that we face as a people. And Koheleth, the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, would say the same thing to us as he said to the early people, the first people who listened to his teaching. Vanity of vanities, he would say. It's the Hebrew word that is translated there as vanity is actually the word hevel. Hevel simply means gas, or it's that the sense of, you know, the things that you know that it's there, it's this something that's around you, but you can't grab hold of it, you can't kind of do anything with you. It's a sense of vapor, something that, you know, on a cold morning you breathe out and you can see the breath in front of you, but it's not something you can grasp hold of. And it's that sense of not having any substance or any real thing that you can build a life around. And so often that's what our lives are all about. You know, vanity of vanities, all these things that we think will matter and are so significant. In fact, this is a point of geekdom, of curiosity. But the first person who is killed, the first person who is murdered in the Bible is, of course, the person Abel, the two brothers, Abel and Cain. Well, Abel, that the word is simply based on that same root word of Havel. The V and the B is pretty much transliterated the same way. So Abel simply comes onto the stage of human history in order to be killed two verses later. And so it's appropriate that he has the name of gas, the one who's vapor, who's just there in order to exist before he's wiped off the course of human history. And for so many people, that's the way of life. That's their existence. That's that sense that they're so fragile that they don't have that ability and capacity to really care and be cared for, to have that ability just to find that full human flourishing. So it's, you know, most appropriate that this weekend we have the appeal for the work of St. Vincent de Paul, because that need to share what we have, that is such a crucial need for us, a Christian people. You know, not to cling, not to hold on to a few possessions, thinking that's our security, that's our identity. It's God himself who wants to be our identity. It's God himself who wants to be the one that will provide all of our needs, provide everything that we could long for. And instead, we get obsessed with these little barns and thinking that that's where our life and our future will be. You know, for those who have, you know, share portfolios, the last few months have been a bit of a rocky ride as you see your balances being eroded away by the events in the world. And it can think, well, I'm worth less now because of this deterioration in these values, or those with large mortgages and rising interest rates and all of the insecurity, all of the anxiety that comes out of those situations. And it can be overwhelming, and it can be, you know, a deeply horrifying experience and situation to be in. And in the midst of that, God is simply saying, look, I'm here for you in thick and fast. I'm going to be there. I'm going to stand by your side. I'm going to do all that you will need to find your true life. It won't be in the stuff that you have. It won't be in your bank balance, but it will be in the value of your heart, the value of your life. That's where our God is calling us and inviting us to true freedom. So indeed today, let's offer our hearts once again to, rather than finding life in stuff and in things that is here today and gone tomorrow, or often here today and gone later in the day, we're invited to find true life and true identity simply in the very presence and power of God's love. So let's renew and make a fresh commitment to follow God today, to give our hearts and our lives over to the God of love.